We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Bucks Examiner, read by Cathy Clugston.
There will be plenty of fun and games, including a beer tent, homemade teas and a dog show, with proceeds going to Hearing Dogs for the Dead.
And our thanks to Daniel Godwin for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, writer and stand-up Jason Cook, with our very own Fred McCauley. Opposite them on my left, broadcaster and journalist Julia Hartley Brewer, along with that terrible reprobate Jeremy Hardy. Fred, why did the Guardian website have a Republican toggle this week?
Well, Sandy, in all the years I've been doing the news quiz, this is the most confident I have ever been about a subject coming up. It's a child.
Yes.
End of story.
So, 2 points to Fred.
The great thing about this piece of news this week was that so much else got sneaked out and people hardly batted an eyelid, they didn't even notice. In Scotland, on Tuesday, we had the referendum, we left the UK. Wednesday, we blew the oil money, right? Thursday, we had another vote and we're back in. I came down here today in a Bentley. Confident as I was that this was going to come up, I thought I'd have a wee look, and I've made some notes, Sandy, so forgive me. I thought I'd look ahead at the next 30 years for wee George, OK? Now, so here's what's going to happen to you, wee man. You'll be taken to a nursery school near Kensington Palace wearing corduroy pantaloons and a wee hat with a nanny who shares the name of one of my Labradors. You'll be packed off to Eton, where you'll excel at being a future monarch airline pilot. After that, St Andrews University, because you like a bit of tradition, or Cambridge, because your family now owns it. And then the forces. You'll be in charge of 300 men, or as it will be known then, the army. You, young man, will have an embarrassing uncle who likes to take his penis out at parties. Your father will be in charge of the family biscuit-making division by now. Your grandfather will be called King Charles, who has a breed of spaniels named after him because of his big flappy ears that bang in his legs when he chases partridges. Thank you very much. Don't bother making me a sir, because as you know, all Sir Freds in Scotland have to kind of hand them back.
I put Channel 4 News on because I thought, well, they'll be doing something important. They had a minor story about women jihadis in Syria. They kept cutting away from saying, sorry, love, sorry, very interesting, but we've got a really important story to cut back to. And they were saying that the baby's coming out any minute. I thought, blimey, that's a bit graphic. but it was the baby coming out the door. And I saw them come out. It was a weird moment because I thought, God, you look at that face and you think, there's a future king and you wonder what's going on in that tiny little brain, and then he said, and he's just had a baby as well.
My mum said, oh, look at them, the first night with a newborn baby, they'll be exhausted. Really? Are you gonna see Prince William walking around Asda at 4 a.m. with joggers, a t-shirt on inside out, crying because they haven't got baby milk like I have to do?
A lot of sympathy, actually. It was all the waiting, there was the pain, the breathlessness, the hand-holding, the crying, the screaming. And I mean, that was just the royal reporters who were stuck outside St Mary's Hospital for 2 whole weeks. Did you see Kay Burley on Sky News?
No.
2 12-hour shifts racing around talking to nutters dressed entirely in the Union Jack, saying, are you excited about the new baby coming? Yes, that's why I've been sitting here for 2 weeks dressed as a flag.
What I liked is bookies were actually offering odds of 500-1 that the baby would be named Wayne. Now, I want to know who saw that and thought, well, it's a long shot, but I'm feeling lucky.
It would be worth it just to have the betting slip framed in your house.
Coverage has been, I mean, fairly overblown, but the most horrific thing that I've seen this week is the OK magazine cover.
Oh,
have you seen that?
No.
I'm not joking. When I saw this, I thought it was a spoof. The headline on OK magazine this week is Kate's post-baby weight loss regime, inside your exclusive Duchess diet and shape-up plan.
Oh, wow. Well,
In the Daily Mail, they had a huge headline saying, it's a boy, and underneath that, there was a picture of Kate. I thought, blimey, Thailand is really churning them out these days.
Everybody kept kept saying, it's a baby boy. And you think, well, it's not going to be an 8-year-old, is it? I mean,
Sandy, can I ask about the wording?
Yes.
It was delivered of. That was what the notice said.
Yeah.
Her Royal Highness the Duchess was delivered of, which means had.
Yeah.
And by about 5:24, I was delivered of quite enough.
Yes.
Do you reckon they have backups?
What do you mean?
I reckon they have backups. I reckon they've got stunt women in the back giving birth. Because, you know, they're bound to have loads of surrogates out there popping them out as well.
Just reams of standby babies.
Yeah, I think they've got loads.
Waiting for the real one to come out. And then a team of people go, oh, it's fine.
But it used to be that there were hundreds of people who witnessed the royal birth to make sure that for that very reason, didn't they? Yes, they used to have. Really? The Home Secretary used to. Can you imagine? Cheery Theresa May would be at a... in case you've been away or have been living under a rock or plucked your eyes out and cut your ears off in desperation, the Duchess of Cambridge gave birth to a baby boy this week and the country went crazy. The baby weighs 8 pounds, 6 ounces, although most of that is silver spoon. The baby was delivered last Tuesday at 4:24 p.m. precisely. God, Harrods are amazing. The couple decided to name the baby Prince George Alexander Louis. George after his great-great-grandfather, Alexander after 3 kings of Scotland, and Louis after Louis Walsh. I have no idea, I lost interest. 2 points to Fred. Jeremy, who says we're going to have to opt in or opt out if we want to shake it all about?
Right, the Prime Minister wants to be seen to be doing something to protect children, not from poverty or homelessness, obviously, but from pornography, which, of course, is a concern. So he wants to have a porn filter, which is all very well, but who's going to empty it? you can see his point, because young people's minds are being warped by porn and teenage boys have completely preposterous ideas about what women should be expected to do and what women actually look like, because in pornography, women have absolutely no hair on their bodies from the eyes downwards, and that's seen as an ideal, because pornography has abolished female body hair. Now, where it's all gone, I don't know. There must be a huge storage facility in Scandinavia.
Maybe it's stuck in the filter.
It could be. Could be. Maybe it's all stashed somewhere in Sweden and that's why they have so many cushions in IKEA. I don't know. So there is huge pressure.
I can't ever buy another cushion from IKEA.
There's huge pressure on teenage girls who are expected to do lots of things that they shouldn't even be having to think about at that age and to look a certain way that they don't actually naturally look. And it's all a shame, but I mean, what to do? I mean, teenage boys are a bit rampant. Their testosterone is all over the place. Maybe there should be an area of schools that set aside for them a few times a day. You just hear a bell, you roll your mat out. I don't know. But how to... The problem is how to create, I guess, erotica that isn't demeaning and objectifying and animalising about women. And I mean, you could have erotic films in which couples who care about each other do it in the afternoon because they're on holiday and it's nice not to be tired for a change.
I'm with BT Broadband, so I don't have access to pornography. Or, in fact, news, emails, websites. It's just a weird thing that it's women's self-confidence that's undermined by pornography, really, because it should surely be men who feel inadequate. I mean, all those handsome men who are terrific in bed and can fix the washing machine. I would have thought that was...
And helpfully bring pizza as well.
Yes.
I've got to say, on Thursday, actually, there was a wonderful comment from Boris Johnson, the London mayor, about this. He was unveiling the latest work of art on the 4th plinth in Trafalgar Square, and it's basically a 4.5-foot-high blue cockerel. And Boris called it a ginormous blue cock. But he said, I think if you try to Google it in the future, the Prime Minister will make your computer crash.
Most households in the UK will have pornography blocked by their internet provider unless they explicitly choose to receive it, according to plans announced by David Cameron. The Prime Minister will also announce the possession of extreme pornography will be outlawed. Extreme pornography is like normal pornography, but on BMX bikes. The Daily Mail has led the campaign to limit internet porn. It demeans and belittles women, they explain, and that's our job. Points to Jeremy. Jason, whose plan to bash the unions has backfired?
Oh, this is Luby Len, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mr. McCluskey, which is just... I've got no idea what the unions do anymore. They just sit in a room and just saber-rattle a bit and then wander up to Ed Miliband and go, you can join our special gang. Which is amazing, but they're just trying to sort of drag Labour back to the left, really, as Labour can pretty much smell UKIP at the minute. They're that far right, and it's amazing. As McCluskey said, let's get Lord Sainsbury's millions out of Labour Party democracy, which I'm not sure about you. Doesn't it sound like the bitter cry of a man who's lost his nectar card? Do you know what I mean?
I like the name Len McCluskey, though. Do you not think it sounds like a sort of maverick New York cop? Do you not think... The commissioner thinks he's a loose cannon, but he gets results. Len McCluskey.
It also sounds like a man that owns a really down-at-heel spoon factory in Sheffield. McCluskey spoons, come on in. We've got all for your spoon needs.
He won't allow Miliband to pick a fight with him, because Miliband is sort of trying to show his mettle by picking a fight, by saying, look, I'm bloody well going to stand up to you. And he's, all right, lads, yeah, that's fine. Good lads, yeah, you're a good kid. And he's just desperately trying to pick a fight with McCluskey. And McCluskey said, oh, that's fine, that's a good idea, that's a good idea. Well, I'm going to cut all links with the unions. Yeah, good idea, lads, yeah, all right, yeah, yeah. You punch me, go on. Yeah, that's great, didn't feel it, but that was great, that was great. Punch me, no, didn't feel it, punch me again. Yeah, you're strong, lads, aren't you? Yeah, bless you, yeah, all right.
But why is it... Why is it when people back Miliband, it feels like a charitable act?
Because it is.
Yes, because it's... Do you know what it reminds me of, Julie? You were very good at sport, but it reminds me of being picked for the netball team even though everybody knew I couldn't catch. It is a sort of both charitable and spiteful.
Miliband went on a couple of weeks ago and he was talking about the voting debacle at Falkirk. But all he was calling, he said, Falkirk was a disaster, and he was going, Falkirk must never happen again, and we must learn from Falkirk. And you've got all these people in Falkirk, which is a nice town, going, what have we done wrong? When did we become a disaster?
I'm a member of Equity, and Equity is a fantastic union.
Yeah.
We're just not very good at being militant. Scab, scab! Was that all right, my love? Oh, I thought that was very good. I thought, do you think I was good? Oh, I thought I was phoning it in tonight. I don't know what's wrong with me. General Secretary's an absolute cow, terrible to work with. Oh, I know. Frightful.
I always like when we get the papers through from Equity, and it's always got a section that says, would you like to vote for this year's clown representative? And well, I would. And then there's a long thing about Pepe's very good at balloon animals, why he'd be good at... It's just
Yeah, you can't vote for a rep whose name is Mr. Chuckles,
no.
Can you?
Len McCluskey, the General Secretary of Britain's biggest union, Unite, claimed that Ed Miliband's proposals to decrease union influence on the Labour Party will actually increase unions' influence. Currently, £3 of each union's members' dues is donated to Labour. In future, they can choose to spend that more wisely on, say, a pint of lager, which, frankly, has more chance of becoming PM than Ed Miliband. At the end of round one, the scores are Fred and Jason have got 4 points, but so too have Julia and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Waikato Times in New Zealand.
It is an historic moment for the British monarchy. The baby boy will be third in line to the British throne after Prince Charles and William, and should eventually become king or queen.
Our thanks to Kath Elliott for sending us that. Fred, who has vowed to pursue money lenders religiously?
It's your Archbishop of Canterbury, who's going to set up some credit unions, and the church is taking on Wonga.com. Wonga.com are what is referred to as a payday loan company. The interest rates are just ridiculous. The people that have to take these loans can ill afford them, so the church is going to get involved and offer them better rates, I would imagine. And I think what's going to happen is that the interest rates will be in direct correlation to your interest in the sermon. They will collect the money. I mean, it's a long time since I was in a church. Last time I was in, it was a wee velvet bag with a nice wooden handle at the top. Outer Hebrides, Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland, it's the same kind of bag with a bear trap over it in case your finger...
The APR at Wonga is 5,853%. But as they point out, you're not meant to keep the money for a year. They'll have taken your house and your children long before then.
Isn't there something in the Bible that says neither a borrower nor a lender be?
No, that's in Hamlet, you flippin' idiot. That's in Hamlet, that's in Polonius' speech to his son Laertes.
Really?
Yes. Oh,
well,
God.
When did Shakespeare write the Bible? Was that after?
Didn't. Philip Marlowe wrote the Bible. Everybody knows that. You're so naive, Fred.
What an education this is.
There should be a thing about... I used to have a friend called Kevin. The reason he's not my friend anymore is that he borrowed $4,000 off me about 25 years ago when he was in a lot of trouble. And he said, I'll give it back to you in 3 months. I haven't seen him since then. And someone lent me some money about 10 or 12 years ago when I was a bit short, and I said, don't know when I'll be able to pay you back. And he said, well, don't worry about it. You'll pay it back in other ways through passing on the love. And I thought, that's a very sweet thing. So, well, the rule should be, it's fine to lend people money, but don't ever expect to see it again. That should apply to mortgages. It should apply to loan sharks. It should apply to the deficit. Yeah. You give people money and it's up to them whether they give it back or not.
The only thing I do know about Wonga.com is that the chief executive officer is a chap called Kevin.
I'm going to give an extra point to anybody who knows what happened to the Newcastle United footballer Papis Cisse, who refused to wear the club shirt sponsored by Wonga. What happened to him?
Found gambling in a casino.
I know.
But that was because he'd taken a loan out from Wonga and he couldn't make the payment.
I was just thinking there, after a Newcastle United football match, then they could say, how did it go? Well, I just went out there and gave it 5,853%.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has told the chief executive of Wonga that he plans to compete him out of existence by offering help to local credit unions. The Archbishop met with Wonga chief executive Errol Damlin, who described the meeting as very productive, as he was charging Welby £500 a minute for his tea and biscuits. Damlin told the Archbishop that he actually welcomed consumer choice and next week will launch the Church of Wonga, a new religion with fewer sins and comfier pews. 2 points to Fred. Jason, whose visit has sent Brazil nuts?
Ah, El Popo.
El Popo.
The Pope himself has gone to visit Brazil in his Popemobile, which I think is always good to go to a developing and poor country in a car that costs £345,000. And we'll also do 160 miles an hour, I found on the internet, which
no.
was... Yes.
That golf cart?
Yes.
Wow, you could have some fun on a round of golf.
£90 million it's costing as well. Just because he flew EasyJet and was 3 kilograms over with his luggage. So there's a picture of him wearing all of his pointy hats at the same time trying to get on the aeroplane.
I did like his very first speaking engagement. I don't know if you saw this. He was met by gay rights activists who staged a kissing protest. And I thought, that must be the first time he's seen gay men kissing since he last walked into a cardinal's room without knocking.
This on the news, though, it said there'd been clashes in Rio, and I thought, well, of course there have been clashes. It's impossible to find something to go with Scarlet.
Brazilian protests are very tidy, though, because there's not people all over the place. It's just one tiny little line up the middle.
Do you know, funny enough, I've got a cushion like that.
He took this, I mean, you say £90 million cost, he took this huge entourage of cardinals and priests along, and while they're there, they're also celebrating in Rio annual World Youth Day. Hundreds of Catholic priests, thousands of young boys and girls. What could possibly go wrong?
No. There was one point a woman handed him a baby to be kissed, and I thought, you've not read a paper for 20 years. The Pope's 7-day visit to Brazil has been marked by a rapturous welcome, but also protests over the £90 million cost. Rio has the world's largest population of Roman Catholics, if you don't count purgatory or hell. He left a Vatican city currently mired in sex claims about his representative at the Vatican Bank. It's thought to be the biggest scandal to hit the church in the last 25 minutes. At the end of round two, the scores are Julie and Jeremy have got 8 points, but in the lead are Fred and Jason with 9. Before we start round three, here is a poster spotted in the Leeds Metropolitan University gym.
Come along on the 23rd of April to watch your mates and tutors battle it out in the first Diabetes Dodgeball Challenge. Donuts and refreshments available inside.
And our thanks to Sally Miller for sending us that. Julia, listen to this. Julia, why does Wiener's Wiener mean he's unlikely to be a winner?
Well, this involves a guy called Anthony Wiener, and he was a Democrat congressman in the States, and In 2011, he was exposed, for want of a better word, for having tweeted out a photo of his, again, for want of a better word, member, in a state of happiness, shall we say, underneath his Calvin Kleins. First, he said it wasn't him. He definitely didn't recognise it as his. Then he admitted it was his. And then it turns out he'd been sending messages out online to various women who weren't his wife, and he had to resign.
So if you don't lock your mobile in your pocket, though, that could happen, couldn't it?
It could happen to any of us. I'm sure it could.
So maybe he saw the word flash written on his camera. He thought it was an instruction. I mean, it's...
Well, I think the main issue, though, was you'd think you'd seen the end of him. But no, he bounced back a few months ago and he's now running for New York mayor. And he was actually the front runner until Tuesday when he was exposed again for sending dirty text messages to another woman. And his wife, extraordinarily, is standing by her man. Just in case my husband's listening, if it was me, I'd be standing by your grave. there's a question mark whether this is hard news or not. Judging by the photos, I'd say yes. And my big worry, actually, is because so much of American politics, the money, the sleaze and things, has ended up in our politics, that I'm not going to take any chances and I've decided to unfollow Ed Balls on Twitter.
I'm not sure that many women are aroused by being sent photographs of male pudenda. Is that attractive? I mean, no.
It doesn't work for me, Jeremy, I have to say.
I think even if you were not an abomination in the sight of God, Sandra, most women, if you sent them a video of you putting up some shelves or getting a spider out of the bath, then they'd think he's a keeper. But if it's just you in
and
the morning...
And your wiener.
Yeah, they'd think, oh, well, I'm all right for coat hooks.
Men do. A friend of mine genuinely sent a picture of his own to his wife, who he'd been with for years, and she sent a text back saying, is that yours?
There's a woman who's kept her eyes shut.
It's not... The thing is, it's a comical thing. I mean, any time you go to a train station and you look at a poster anywhere on the platform and there's a man on it, somebody with a Sharpie has enterprisingly added male reproductive organs to the picture. But it's comical. Passing women don't think, ooh, sexy cartoon. Ooh.
Politician texting a picture of his private parts, it's a bit like coverage of the royal baby, because there's a lot of fuss about seeing the photo, and then ironically they all look exactly the same, don't they? Former Congressman Anthony Weiner is under pressure to quit the race to become mayor of New York after again sending pictures of his private parts to a lady labelling herself Sydney Leathers. I feel stupid now, I just bought a chaise longue off her. That's not... Well, that won't be turning up, will it? 2 points to Julia. Jason, why might you not live to regret being born in the North?
Well, apparently people in Dorset are living longer, according to a study, which is one way of looking at it. I prefer to think in the North we just get our living done quicker. That's what we do. You've got your life and that's what you do. You know, leave education at 16, parent by 17, grandparent by 35. Don't have to worry about retiring because you haven't got a job anyway. Bang, you're done. That's it.
They can live up to about, 10 years longer in Dorset?
Yeah, in Dorset,
I've been to Dorset, to be honest. I'd be happier with a shorter life up north.
I've been to Blackpool and I feel the same way. Yeah.
It's lovely, Dorset.
Yeah?
It's because it's got a slight flavour of the West Country without the full-blown horror that is Cornwall. I like Dorset and I like Blackpool, but it's true that in England there is a terrible gap between North and South and it's called Wolverhampton.
That heckled me. I was in a gig in London and a man called me mate. That's the worst thing when posh people try and talk to working class people. He's going, mate. He's working class. I'm using his language. It's utterly delightful. Throw some coal, watch him cry. And he said, are you from the North? And I said, yeah, I'm from Newcastle. He went, oh, mate, were you terribly affected by the recession? There's something about people from the North, we sugarcoat bad news. My dad died just before the recession kicked in, and he was on his deathbed. My mother, trying to cheer him up, genuinely looked at my father and went, well, look on the bright side, Tony, you're going to miss the credit crunch. And my dad, on his deathbed, without missing a beat, looked her dead in the eye and he went, what, recession up North? What we're going to have? More nout.
So, A new report from the National Office of Statistics shows that southerners live up to 10 years longer than northerners. On the plus side, for any northern listeners, that's 10 years when you don't have to listen to insufferably smug southerners going on about how great the south is. On the minus side, you will be dead. The longest life expectancy is in Dorset, a place famous for its fossils, although people in Dorset don't like it when you call them that. 2 points to Jason. Well done, mate. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. McCauley.
This has been sent in by Tom Duffel, and it's a pairing of headlines that you found in the BBC's most shared list. At number 3, Cameron to unveil online porn curb. And at number 4, big leap towards curing blindness.
Mr. Cook.
This has been sent in by Anne-Louise Quinton from the website cntraveller.com, and this is flight news. Another reason Singapore Airways keeps winning awards, now it's serving customised Italian coffee by Illy on board, business class and above only. The only airline to do so, not to be outdone, EasyJet has responded by bringing out a summer range of snacks, including Mrs. Crimble's giant choc macaroon.
Ms. Hartley-Brewer.
Peter Gedd spotted this on the BBC website. A man who staged a failed armed raid on his local bookmakers because he wanted to get away from Shetland has been jailed for 44 months. John Mullarkey wore a balaclava and fake beard, spoke in a mock Irish accent and demanded money at Shetland turf accountants in Lerwick. However, a staff member responded, "Stop mucking about, John."
Mr. Hardy.
This is sent in by Phil Judkins and it's from The Independent. And it's about the life of goalkeeper Bert Trautmann. Trautmann gradually came to realise he had been brainwashed by his years in the Hitler Youth and increasingly felt at home in Lancashire.
Let's take a look at the final scores. Julia and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Fred and Jason with 13. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Observer Food Monthly magazine spotted by Catherine Ottley.
The secret to the perfect summer lunch? Keep it simple and don't show off, says Nigel Slater. Recipes include crab toasts with samphire and grilled langoustines in rosemary butter.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Fred McCauley, Jason Cook, Julia Hartley-Brewer and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Cathy Clugston. The chair script was written by Rodri Crooks, Andy Walton and Simon Littlefield, with additional material by Ahir Shah, Rania Maguire and James Bug. The producer was Sam Michelle.